Hi, this is Jack Vaughn for the Talking Data Podcast, and I'm joined today by Executive Editor Craig Stedman of our group. And a matter of discussion that we're going to pick up on is last month's Strata Hadoop World in New York City. Craig was there. Of course, Hadoop was there too, but so was Spark. And really, it was a grab bag of data architecture, and also not to mention cloud. Craig, let's start there. We watched with some interest last year as Databricks worked to release its Spark system first on the cloud. It seems the Hadoop vendors that were ahead of Databricks are working pretty hard to do the same, to be cloud worthy. What's driving Hadoop on the cloud?
Well, I think it's some of the same things that are driving other platforms in the cloud, which are the potential for cost savings, increased flexibility, the ability to scale up and scale down your systems as needed, or even to turn them off if you don't need them. Run something for one application and then to do a job and then turn it off if you don't need it anymore. So that's what's driving it. But at Strata and Hadoop World, what we saw was kind of the independent Hadoop vendors, particularly Cloudera, which is the leading independent Hadoop vendor, leading on-premises Hadoop vendor, trying to get more into the cloud, essentially.
Doesn't have to change its name.
No, that's right. Despite the name, though, it wasn't really that aligned with the cloud before. So, for example, it didn't offer metered usage pricing for cloud deployments. Basically, you just bought Cloudera software licenses for a particular number of nodes. What that meant was that you didn't really get any benefit by being able to set up what's called transient clusters that, you know, like as I was talking about before, that come and go as needed. Yeah, so what they're doing now is basically usage-based pricing that they're enabling so that to make it easier for their customers to set up these, you know, clusters, spin up clusters as needed, take them offline when they're not needed, and bring them back again if they are needed. And kind of the elephant in the room, so to speak, in all this is Amazon Web Services. This is Cloudera's doing this specifically on the AWS cloud, and it's matching the Amazon pricing model. And the problem is that AWS offers its own cloud, its own Hadoop distribution in the cloud, Amazon Elastic MapReduce, or EMR. And AWS has become, according to Gartner, it's the largest Hadoop vendor in terms of the number of users out there. It's at a different conference earlier in the year. Gartner analyst Merv Adrian said that AWS has more Hadoop users than all of the other vendors combined, if you just on the number of users, not necessarily from a revenue standpoint. It was hard to count that before because a lot of the clusters are transient. They kind of come and they go as needed. So Cloudera is trying to make it get in a better position to compete against AWS for Hadoop business on the Amazon cloud. Similarly, I mean, Microsoft offers a Hadoop distribution that's based on Hortonworks's technology, you know, version of Hadoop, and they also have usage-based pricing. So Cloudera would also be in a position, you know, would be difficult for them necessarily to compete against that. So Hortonworks benefits from that arrangement, but similarly, they want to be able to compete on the AWS cloud as well. So they also are. They have a technical preview release of a version of their Hadoop distribution that would run on the AWS cloud and be able to spin up and spin down cloud Hadoop clusters as needed there.
I know that at the conference, there's so much to Hadoop, quote unquote. Data streaming seemed to be a very active area. That was my one of my takeaways from looking at your reports from Strata. Why? What's going on with that? Why is data streaming gaining this attention?
Right. Well, you know, as they say, there's no time like the present to process and analyze data. And if you have that sort of a if you have that kind of a need, you know, that kind of a business. So, for example, Comcast was one of the companies that presented at the conference, and they, you know, they're looking to collect data from set-top boxes, both on the TV viewing activities of their customers. In aggregate, they say they're not looking at individual. They're not trying to track what we're all individually watching, but to track it kind of in aggregate and get sort of overall, you know, ideas about what people are watching as a whole, you know, customers are watching as a whole, but also data on the operations of the boxes themselves so that they can try to analyze the data in real time and try to, you know, detect any potential problems that would affect, you know, the operations of the set-top boxes and their customers' viewing experiences.
With the types of modules or components that show up there, I know some of the ones you mentioned, they're not all Hadoop for sure, but in terms of streaming, there's the Confluent Kafka streaming, Flink, Storm.
Well, yeah. So, like I said, the technologies that are becoming available are there are more and more of these technologies that are becoming available. It's all primarily tied to a Hadoop, but kind of some of the technologies surrounding Hadoop. So you mentioned Spark before, and you know, so there's Spark Streaming is the stream processing module that's part of Spark, and that was the streaming capabilities were updated in a 2.0 version of Spark that was released in July. Kudu is a Cloudera technology it's a data store, but a data store that's built for real-time analytics applications that runs in, you know, within the Hadoop environment. Flink, you mentioned that. Yeah, it was released in a commercial version by Data Artisans, its lead developer, in September. They're in Confluent. You mentioned Confluent. These are former LinkedIn people who created Kafka, which is basically a message queuing system for shuttling data from one place to another. But they're now Confluent, this startup that was created. They're trying to turn it into a Kafka into a streaming platform in its own right. They're even talking about setting up Kafka clusters, which is not something we've really heard before. And there's other technologies too, like Storm and Samza. There's a lot of different technologies out there. You know, eBay created a technology of its own called Pulsar that they've open sourced. They're using. So there's a lot of technologies available, and that kind of, you know, it's kind of indicative of the whole big data environment and big data architecture. You know, one of the IT teams who are looking to build big data architectures have an abundance of different technologies to choose from. But there's the downside to all that abundance is that putting all these pieces together is the required pieces that you need together can be a daunting task. Challenges, though, aren't necessarily a laughing matter for a lot of organizations because, you know, like Gartner, to go back to Gartner, Gartner has predicted that through 2018, 70% of Hadoop installations will fall short of their cost savings and revenue generation goals, largely due to a combination of, you know, lack of skills in big data technologies, but then also technology integration difficulties. So, you know, as Merv Adrian, Gartner analyst, put it, it said it that most Hadoop projects of any significance are artisanal. So basically you're putting the pieces together. And he counted, again, a presentation I saw at another conference, he listed a total of 46 open source technologies revolving around Hadoop that are supported by one or more of the Hadoop distribution vendors.
Well, Greg, there's been a rush of interest in these topics, and we've attempted to cover them and at the same time to be cognizant of drawbacks, things that could hinder progress, and appreciate that you made it to Strata and gave us a rundown.
Sure thing.
And so that's Jack Vaughn for the Talking Data Podcast, again, along today with Craig Stedman, thanking you for being with us.